So our scripture this evening will be in Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to be continuing our prophecy series and speaking on Daniel's 70 weeks. This is Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, Daniel chapter 9, and we'll be looking at verses 24 through 27. So we'll go ahead and read that, and then we'll pray. So Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, just to give you a little background, Daniel has been praying for his people, and the angel Gabriel comes to him and gives him this vision, and this is a vision of the coming Messiah, but it's also a vision of the Antichrist, the end of time, and it's really a vision of the time frame for Israel. In other words, this is what's going to happen with Israel with the coming Messiah, and then the Antichrist, and then the end when the kingdom comes. So we will start in verse 24, and this is the prophecy. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, that is the city of Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and of the end of the war desolations, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the oblation, the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So that is Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, and it's going to tell us several important things. And it kind of, the way it works is it will give you a time frame and then it'll give you a gap in the time frame, but it doesn't show you where the gap is. You just, by reading the Bible and the New Testament, you know where the gaps are. And then it'll give you another time frame, and then it'll do another gap, and then it'll talk about something else. And so we'll look at this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray that you will forgive me for my sins. I do pray that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone here does not know you as Savior, that you would convict them of the majesty of your prophetic word, and that you would save their souls tonight by your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, I preached on this passage in Northern Ireland. There was a guy that talked to me later on that had come to the services and was not saved, and he said that one of the reasons that he wanted to talk about salvation was because he was, after he heard this passage and how it predicted the future, he thought it was so incredible that he wanted to talk about getting saved. So this is a truly incredible prophecy. The first thing that we see is the time frame for the nation, the time frame for the nation of Israel. Verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. The word of God says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So there's a time frame that is given for Israel. And during that time frame, the Bible says 70 weeks are given to the nation of Israel. And during that 70 weeks, They have to finish transgression. They have to make an end of sins. They have to make reconciliation for iniquity. They have to bring in everlasting righteousness. They have to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and they have to anoint the Messiah or the Most Holy. And that's all during 70 weeks. Now, we'll see what 70 weeks means in a few moments. But at any rate, this is prophetically speaking. Prophecy is mysterious enough so that when you read it, you don't quite understand what it's talking about until it's actually fulfilled. But it's clear enough so that when it is fulfilled, that you go back and look at it and you can see how everything fits together. And we see that even in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that if someone were reading that, like the Ethiopian eunuch, for instance, that was reading Isaiah 53 and said to Philip the evangelist, is this man, Isaiah, is he talking about himself or is he talking about another? And so it was mysterious enough that he couldn't tell, but then Philip preached to him Jesus, and he saw how it all fit and was a prophecy of Jesus and how it all fit together. So we see here a prophecy that we will clearly see from the New Testament how this has been fulfilled and will be fulfilled. So we have a time frame for the nation of Israel. The second thing that we see is that this 70 weeks prophecy gives a time frame for the Messiah. There's a time frame for Jesus Christ. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. Now there's actually a time frame placed here. There's a fixed date from the going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, unto Jesus Christ, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So we have a starting point that's fixed here, and that is from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, David Guzik says the following about this. The Bible presents 4 possible decrees that might fulfill this description. Cyrus made a decree giving Ezra and the Babylonian captives the right to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple in 538 BC. We find that in Ezra 1:1-4 and Ezra 5:13-17. So that's 538 BC. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that Darius made a decree giving Ezra the right to rebuild the temple in 517 BC. That's Ezra 6:6-12. Another possibility is that Artaxerxes made a decree giving Ezra permission, safe passage, and supplies to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple in 458 BC. Ezra 7:11-26. And then the final possibility is that Artaxerxes made a decree giving Nehemiah permission, safe passage, and supplies to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the walls in 445 BC. That's Nehemiah 2:1-8. And Guzik says, only the last of these 4 decrees was a command to restore and to build Jerusalem. The first 3 each focused on the temple, not on the street or on the walls. So it is generally accepted that the year that Daniel is talking about here is a decree that was made in 445 BC. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. So now that we've fixed the date at 445 BC of this commandment going forth, now we're going to look at the math of the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks. And remember, we had a total of 70 weeks in this prophecy. So 445 BC plus 7 weeks plus 80, which 20, 40, 60, that's 60 in 2 weeks. So you have 7 weeks plus 60 in 2 weeks. So 7 weeks plus 80 in 2 weeks is 445 BC plus 69 weeks. That's the math. So if you add 445 BC plus 69 weeks, if these are literal weeks, we are still in either 445 BC or 446 BC. So that does not bring us to Messiah the Prince. Jesus Christ did not come in 445 or 446 BC. So the weeks have to mean something besides weeks. Now, the King James Study Bible says this: the word weeks is a Hebrew word that can refer to any period of 7 days, 7 months, 7 years, and so on. Only the context indicates what period of 7 is intended. And the context must demand, because of when Jesus came, that these are weeks of years. In other words, 1 day equals 1 year. So 1 week has 7 days. Each day equals 1 year. 1 week, therefore, would equal 7 years. So you have 69 weeks of years. So you multiply 69 times 7, and that gives you 483 years. Now your math works out. 483 years. From 445 BC, it was 483 years until Messiah the Prince. Know therefore, Daniel 9:25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 82 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Now I have put the math into this verse in the next a verse you'll see up on the screen, so let me read it with the math in it. Know therefore and understand that from 445 BC unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 483 years. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now, here's some more math. 483 years, 445 BC plus 483 years equals 38 AD. Now, that cannot be the birth of Jesus. Could it be the death of Jesus was in 38 AD? Most scholars believe that Jesus died between 30 and 33 AD, not in 38 AD. So that puts us too far out. So why is our math off? It is interesting to note that a prophetic year had 360 days in it. In fact, Sir Isaac Newton said, I don't have this quote, but this is basically what he said. He said that in ancient times, that records show that people calculated the days of the year as to be 360 days a year because they calculated them based on the lunar cycles. And so they would calculate the years to have 360 days with 12 months. In the Bible, a prophetic year following a lunar cycle has 360 days. The King James Study Bible again says Daniel used a calculation of time based upon a prophetical year of 360 days rather than solar years of 365 days. So now if we do the calculation using days, 483 years times 360 days per year equals 173,880 days. All right, now, does 445 BC plus 483 years equal 38 AD? No, it does not. 445 BC plus 483 years does not equal 38 AD when we use 360 days a year. Now, I'm going to now read to you from Sir Robert Anderson. And Sir Robert Anderson was a brilliant man that lived around the turn of the century, and he wrote a book and talked about this prophecy. I think his book was called The Coming Prince. I don't have it written down here, but I have a quote from it. And this is what Sir Robert Anderson calculated. The Julian date of the 10th of Nisan was Sunday, the 6th of April, A.D. 32. What then was the length of the period intervening between the issuing of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem and the public advent of Messiah the Prince? Between the 14th of March, B.C. 445, and the 6th of April, A.D. 32. The interval contained exactly and to the very day 173,880 days, or 7 times 69 prophetic years of 360 days, the first 69 weeks of the prophecy. So in other words, he has fixed the date in 445 BC. It is known that this decree was made in the Jewish month of Nisan, and they were able to take a Julian calendar and go back and trace the cycle of the moons and to fix the date of this decree to rebuild the city as the 14th of March, B.C. 445 by the Julian calendar. Now, if you want to know about the Julian calendar is the calendar that was introduced by Julius Caesar in 45 A.D., and it is the calendar that was in use when Jesus Christ was born. It was the calendar that continued to be in use up until Pope Gregory introduced the Gregorian calendar. Even when Pope Gregory introduced the Gregorian calendar, which is what most nations use today, Protestants refused to use Gregory's calendar because it came from the Catholics. So they continued to use the Julian calendar for several hundred more years. And in fact, there are still parts of the church, I believe the Orthodox Church, that still uses the Julian calendar for their dates. So this is what all his math has done using the Julian calendar. And so he has fixed these dates. And what he's saying is that if the decree was made on the 14th of March, B.C. 445, and you put in 173,880 days, then that, which is the length of time in this prophecy that's given during the 69 weeks, then you will come up with the 6th of April, A.D. 32. Now, I'll show you some neat things about that date in just a moment, but he's got the time frame down to the very day. Sir Robert Anderson, the King James Study Bible says, calculated the end of the 69th week to fall on Palm Sunday just before the Lord's crucifixion. So in other words, the date he gave of the 6th of April, 32 AD, just happened to be Palm Sunday. And it corresponded to a particular date in the Jewish calendar. And we'll show you that in a moment. So Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I'm going to put the math into this verse, and we'll read it again. And after the 6th of April, A.D. 32, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So sometime after the 6th of April, A.D. 32, by the Julian calendar, sometime after that date, Jesus was crucified. And I'll show you this on a calendar. Believe it or not, there's a website where you can look up any calendar you want, basically. And so I looked up the Julian calendar, and it had the Julian calendar. And of course, it gave modern dates on the Julian calendar. And I thought there's no way it would give a date from AD 32. But I pushed in AD 32, and lo and behold, it pulled up the Julian calendar for April of AD 32. And I was able to look with a calculated calendar on the internet. It had exactly the same dates that Sir well, I've lost his name. Hold on just a second. Robert Anderson, Sir Robert Anderson. It was able to calculate, it calculated the exact same dates that Sir Robert Anderson did without computers in AD 32. I have no idea how he did it, because I know that they didn't have calendars that you could flip back to AD 32 at that time, but he was able to do the math without a computer. So we have the 6th of April, AD 32, and after that shall Messiah be cut off. Now we're going to look at the Passover and what the Bible says about the Passover. Exodus 12 and verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month. Now this month was the Jewish sacred month of Nisan. So the 10th of Nisan, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So they were to take a lamb on the 10th of Nisan, and they were to keep it until the 14th of Nisan, and then they would celebrate the Passover. They would kill it in the evening, and the evening for the Jews meant about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they would start killing these lambs at 3 in the afternoon, and then they would celebrate the Passover feast. Now here's the interesting thing. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Jesus enters Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. Now, what day was the 10th of Nisan? What did it correspond to in the Julian calendar? Sir Robert Anderson fixed the date of the 10th of Nisan as Sunday, April the 6th, AD 32, Palm Sunday. And here's the Julian calendar that I pulled off the internet that calculated AD 32, April for AD 32, and that error is pointing towards the 6th of April. Now, Passover would have taken place on the 10th of April by this calendar, the same week. And if Jesus was killed on Passover, then he was crucified on Thursday. And if he was crucified on Friday, then that would have been Friday the 11th. Now, we won't get into all that, but at any rate, he enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the 6th of April, or the 10th of Nisan. Now, remember that Sir Robert Anderson's calculations, when he added together all the days from Daniel's prophecy, 173,880 days, from his date in 445 BC, when that decree was issued, until April the 6th of AD 32 equaled exactly 173,880 days. Now, what's significant about Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? Well, there were prophecies connected with this. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. So it was prophesied that the king would enter Jerusalem on this date. Matthew 21:9, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were putting their palm branches out, waving the palm branches, putting them in the street and throwing their coats down, and saying, Hosanna, save us now to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the Jews thought that the Messiah was coming into town to overthrow the Roman government. He went into the temple. They thought he was going to overthrow the Romans and establish a kingdom. And so this is the first time Jesus, we know who he is, and people were recognizing who he was, but this is the first time that he's entered Jerusalem and been received by the people as their coming prince or king. So it's a very significant date. So we've seen the time frame for the nation, the time frame for the Messiah, And now we're going to look at the time frame for the Antichrist. For this prophecy also includes what will happen at the end of time. And after 80 years, verse 26, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That, of course, a prophecy of the crucifixion. So after the 6th of April, A.D. 32, Jesus Christ was cut off, but of course not for his own sins. He died. To be cut off means to die. He died for the sins of the world. So he was cut off, but not for himself. So there's the prophecy of the crucifixion. Now you jump ahead to A.D. 70. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. This is a prophecy of what took place in A.D. 70 when Titus came with his armies and destroyed Jerusalem. They leveled Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. And it was a massive military campaign in A.D. 70. And there were a lot of people that died in that. So this is a prophecy of that. Jesus also talked about that. He talked about that prophecy when he said that there would come a day with the temple when not one stone would be left standing upon another. These are just prophecies of Titus coming and destroying the city in A.D. 70. Now notice what it says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Who were the people that destroyed Jerusalem in A.D. 70? The Romans. That's correct. Now the people of the prince that shall come. Who is the prince that shall come? The prince that shall come is the Antichrist. He's still to come in the future. The people of the prince are the Romans. The Antichrist will come from the Roman Empire. Now remember, as we've studied here, there will be a revised Roman Empire at the end of time, and it'll be made up of those nations, and there's still vestiges of the Roman Empire in existence today. And so the Antichrist will come from the Roman Empire, from one of those nations. Possibly he could even come from Vatican City. But at any rate, the Antichrist will come from the Roman Empire. The military destroyed Jerusalem in A.D. 70. And so now we're going to look at verse 26 again and then verse 27. And after 80 years shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now he, in this verse, is the prince that shall come of verse 26, the Antichrist. And this is a prophecy of what will happen at the end of time. And this is Daniel's 70th week. The 69 weeks were taken care of in the time period from the command to rebuild the temple in, or the city in 445 BC until Messiah came in 32 AD, until he was revealed in Jerusalem. And then he was crucified. And that took up 69 weeks of the prophecy. We yet have 1 week. And remember, each day of the week equals a year. So we still have 7 years to go. And these years will happen in the future. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, 1 week equals 7 years. So I'm going to now put the math into this verse, and we'll read it, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. And in the midst of the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. After 3.5 years of tribulation, the Antichrist will walk into the Jewish temple and declare himself to be God. This blasphemy is referred to as the overspreading of abominations in Daniel 9:27. Now, Matthew talks about this. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place," that is, in the temple, "whoso readeth, let him understand." And 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come first a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." 2 Thessalonians 2:4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God," or that is worship, "so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, just as Antiochus Epiphanes, who Daniel also prophesied, just as he walked into the Jewish temple and offered a sow upon the altar and blasphemed God and defiled the temple, the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel and allow them to have their sacrifices in their rebuilt temple. And after 3.5 years, he's going to walk into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and he's going to command that the sacrifices cease, and he's going to declare that he is God and that he must be worshipped. And of course, you know that if you don't worship him, you're going to, of course, hopefully none of us will be here. If we're saved, we'll be raptured out. But if you're unfortunate enough to be here, then you'll be given the choice to receive his mark. And if you refuse to receive that mark, you'll be killed. And if you receive the mark, then you're doomed. So it'd be better to get saved now. Amen. "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the midst of that 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." So that's where the Antichrist says, after 3.5 years, and remember, these years do not have 365 days. They're still prophetic years. They still have 360 days. And so in the midst of this time, he's going to command that the sacrifices must cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. That is, the abomination of desolation that Jesus referred to, where he walks into the temple and declares himself to be God, even until the consummation, even until it's over, and that determine is poured upon the desolate. Of course, this will end with Jesus Christ returning with the saints from heaven on the white horses and setting up his kingdom upon the earth. And that's after 7 years of tribulation. And that is the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. So I hope if you're listening to this and you're not saved, that in light of the fact that the Bible has these wonderful prophecies in it and that the Bible is true, that you'll believe the prophecy of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead, and that you'll believe in him today and be saved.